From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. 140 of the people quarantined for coronavirus at Travis Air Force Base were expected to be on their way home, and in fact, some of them are. These are passengers from the Princess Diamond cruise ship, and they've been cleared of the disease. Meanwhile, more than 90 healthcare workers at a Solano County hospital are reportedly being newly quarantined. Two of them have tested positive, and there is no status update today on that patient who was moved from that hospital to the UC Davis Medical Center. Washington State, meanwhile, is reporting two deaths from COVID-19. New York State has its first case. We're going to get to national political news on top of all of this because tomorrow is primary day here in California. And Ken Rudin, the political junkie, is standing by to join me live. But we are going to start with the advance of COVID-19. Tracy Goldstein is a professor in the Department of Pathology, Immunology, and Microbiology. She's also associate director of the One Health Institute at UC Davis. And she's on the phone right now. Dr. Goldstein, glad to have you back.
Good morning. Thank you for having me again.
Do you have a sense of the patients being treated at UC Davis or in Northern California? The numbers are such a moving target right now.
Yeah, I think that's really the key thing, is that it's really a very fluid situation and things are changing all the time. I don't actually have an update on how many cases are being treated at UC Davis. I do know that the student that was tested tested negative and then is being followed up on.
And that's true, and that has raised more discussion about the need for test kits, and there is discussion on both the national and state level about this. What about arming countries around the world, Tracy, with the ability to diagnose and then treat this illness?
Yeah, I think, as you know, from the last time that I was on the phone with you, we have a project where we've been helping to build capacity in countries around the world. And in fact, this morning had a call with our Africa collaborators. And it sounds like, you know, there's a plan in place. All of them had great updates to report. They've been working with FAO or WHO, depending on if they're an animal or a human lab. And there's definitely things in motion for testing and for plans. And most countries that we spoke with this morning have test kits available and have even been doing some testing and, you know, screening initial cases.
I wonder if you can help me a bit with the math on this. It's now being reported that nearly 90,000 people have had this virus. There have been more than 3,000 deaths. It's reported that about 46,000 have recovered. So there's about 40,000 cases or people in there that don't seem to be accounted for. Are they in quarantine? Do you have a sense of the status?
Yeah, you know, again, really fluid situation. Good places to get updated information in case of, listeners are interested is, of course, the CDC website and the World Health Organization website. They provide daily updates on the number of cases. But I think you're correct. You know, a lot of those initial cases, those numbers are coming from patients that come to hospitals and get tested. And then when they die, of course, those cases are really also easy to track. But the people who are either treated and or also returned to home to be treating are sometimes harder to track. And so I think in the coming days, we'll start to learn a little bit more about the outcomes of many of those patients. But it's just a really hard situation to track that many people that are being treated in many, many different hospitals and often also being treated at home.
And this virus is now in 60 countries around the world. Dr. Goldstein, we talked with you on January 29th. That was about a month into the awareness of the virus. The very next day, a World Health Organization committee declared it a public health emergency of international concern. The day after that, it was declared such for the United States. There have been some U.S. officials reporting that this disease might have been in the U.S. for 6 weeks or longer, moving around, not showing signs of infection. Can you respond to that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's such a global world that we live in, and people are traveling all the time. And so the places where we saw, you know, first cases, places like Seattle or sort of Sacramento, these are big international hubs, and now in New York. And so I think that initially we were really focused on planes maybe coming from China, not necessarily thinking about planes coming from other places in Asia. And, you know, the difficulty about this virus is it has such a range of clinical signs, right? From very mild, things that look most similar to, you know, a general cold, all the way to severe infections in those that get very ill. And so those early infections, or probably what many of us may get, which are these mild infections, often hard to track. You know, many of us don't go to the doctors, and rightly so, every time we have the beginning of a cold. And so I think that just makes this type of outbreak very difficult to track.
One more thing I want to go back to from that first conversation was that your research confirmed and verified what's being said around the world, that bats have been the origin for most or many of the coronaviruses. So let's take a listen to something that you said at the time, how you explained this to us about a month ago.
We don't know for sure what species were in those markets, but certainly we find a mixture of different animal species in the markets, and those are kind of conditions that are ripe for contact between species. And if a virus has the ability to change or to infect multiple species, those are the sorts of places that they can jump from one host into another.
So the virus is changing in terms of its ability, it seems, to jump now through human species. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, you know, we still don't know exactly what the reservoir is. And again, you know, the shift globally, rightly so, has moved to response, you know, to this outbreak rather than research trying to understand where it initially came from. But as I said before, it likely did come from an animal, possibly a bat. And it changed back then. Analysis since that time that you and I have spoken showed that it likely actually mutated maybe back in October. So it was an animal virus at that time, and since that time, it's mutated to become a human virus, and now you can see that it's clearly moving from human to human. So I think the animal reservoir is sort of in the past, and now it's become a virus that's adapted very well to infecting people.
One more question, Dr. Goldstein. What do you think the arc of this disease will be, its timetable? And I know that's a very big speculation, but from what you know about these viruses, what's the possibility?
Yeah, it's a really tough question. You know, SARS, which is the last one that we saw that was related to this virus, had a sort of a much shorter time course. And in fact, as the climate, you know, as the weather changed, the virus curtailed itself. But it also didn't spread as widely as this one did. And so I think it's really hard to tell. We are maybe seeing, hopefully, signs of it slowing in China. And perhaps if that is the case, that will give us an idea of the timing that we might be seeing of it eventually slowing in other countries. But I think it's just really hard to speculate on that right now.
Dr. Goldstein, thank you so much for joining us again on Insight.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Tracy Goldstein is professor of pathology, immunology, and microbiology at UC Davis. On the phone now is Soumya Carla Mungla. She is a health reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Hi, Soumya. Glad to have you on the show today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what can you add to what Dr. Goldstein was saying in terms of current concerns and current efforts in the United States?
So I think the U.S. is in an early phase right now. I mean, there is speculation that the virus has been spreading for a couple of weeks, if not longer. But right now, as the number of cases starts to mount and we're looking at which parts of the country are affected, I think officials are really scrambling to try a containment strategy and limit the further spread of cases. But it's hard because the data is all really early and we're not testing everyone. We're only testing people who are really sick. So it's kind of working with incomplete numbers.
We're talking about, as you heard, more test kits. There's an increased level of screening happening now at certain airports in the United States. We're hearing from experts that masks, wearing a mask, might give us perhaps psychological comfort, but not real protection, that washing your hands is the best advice. Are you hearing people talking about wearing latex gloves in busy places too?
Yeah, I have. And I think the only thing the CDC is recommending is that you wash your hands. That really is the most important thing. You don't want to, you know, come into contact with the virus, have it on your hand, and then touch your face, eat something, adjust your glasses, whatever, and bring the virus into your body that way. Wearing a mask is recommended for people who maybe are sick or healthcare workers who are maybe coming into contact with a lot of infected patients. But for most people who probably don't have the right mask, don't know how to wear the mask properly. You'll be adjusting it. You'll just be touching your face more and more. It's not really providing adequate protection.
One more question, and that is about these two deaths, the first in the United States, in Washington State. Can you add to the details about the circumstances up there?
Yeah, so Washington has kind of become the epicenter for this outbreak in the U.S. so far, at least. And the majority of cases in Washington are linked to a nursing home in a suburb of Seattle called Kirkland. One of the deaths was among a resident of the nursing home who was in his 70s, had some underlying health conditions. We're not sure exactly what those were. Interestingly, the first death that was reported Saturday has not been linked to the nursing home, but was in the same city. And so that suggests that maybe the virus is spreading elsewhere in the city. We just are seeing its impact in the nursing home because those patients are particularly vulnerable to more severe consequences of the disease.
All right, Soumya, we're going to link some of your articles. Thanks for joining us today on Insight.
Thank you.
That is Soumya Karlamangla. She is a health reporter for the LA Times. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. After a short break, we're going to switch gears, and the political junkie Ken Rudin will join me in person in the studio to talk politics.